Well, welcome to 2017. Happy New Year. Woo! So I'm wondering, what would you like to see happen this year? Maybe you're still trying to recover from celebrating last night, but what would you like to see happen? Or what would you like to accomplish? What would a successful 2017 look like for you? I want you to spend a little bit of time thinking about that this morning. In fact, if you have a pen and maybe your bulletin, take just a few seconds, and I want you to start writing down. Just don't overthink it. Just the first things that come to mind, the things that you would like to see happen this next year, or maybe things that you would like to accomplish. So if you have a moment, or if you can make a mental list, but if you have a pen and paper, write those down. What would you like to see happen? Maybe it's something like exercise. I don't know, that's always something at the beginning of the year that people want to maybe start doing more of. Maybe some of you are looking forward to graduating this year as seniors in high school or possibly in college. Maybe you're trying to figure out what college you want to go to. If you're in high school, figure out what is this next chapter in my life that I'm going to do? What does it look like? And maybe you have some ideas about what you'd like it to look like. Maybe some of you would like a girlfriend, I don't know, or a boyfriend, or maybe you want to get married or get a different job. So how many do you have down? Anybody have two or three down? A few of you? Five? Ten? Okay, well, I want you to think, as you think about all of those things that you'd like to see happen, I want you to try and narrow it down, okay? See if you can narrow it down to just one thing. What would be the one thing? If you could narrow that down, that list in your mind or that you have on paper, what would be the one thing that you would want to narrow it down to? As you see, this guy obviously has lots of things that he'd like to do. So if you could narrow those post-its down on the wall there to just one, what would that be? What would that one thing be? I don't think we're real good at narrowing things down. At least, personally, I'm not real great at it. I was thinking about it this week as Doris and I went out to eat for her birthday. And we went to a new restaurant, you know, a new menu, and you're going through that menu. And if you're like us, kind of everything kind of looks good, and you haven't tried any of it before, and so the waitress keeps coming back, and you're like, well, just give us a couple more minutes because we're still trying to figure out what is the one thing. We gotta just order one thing. We can't just order everything off the menu. So one thing, we got to figure out what to get off of that menu. I've also been talking about building a computer and compiling parts for my new computer the end of last year, and I was having a little bit of trouble narrowing down on what is the one part that I need for this particular thing. Cases was one of the things that I spent probably too much time looking at computer cases, and you'd be surprised how many choices there are when it comes to buying a case to build a computer with. All kinds of them. Some have blue fans and red fans and crazy cool designs. There's white cases and black cases and clear, completely clear cases. All different shapes and sizes, and some that cost over $1,000 just for the case, down to maybe $25. And then you got all the different places you can get them from Micro Center. It used to be just Micro Center was the place to go, but now you can order them from Newegg and Amazon and BH Photo and eBay and even Walmart. And then you start looking, okay, well, I'm going to maybe narrow down to these five choices. You start reading the reviews, and you know how that goes. There's like, everybody has an opinion, and a lot of them are different about which case is the best case. And so I enjoyed the process. I do enjoy that process of just kind of sifting through and finding, but at the same time, it can be a bit overwhelming when you see all of the choices that you have, and you need to get this down to just one choice. One choice. I finally chose two, as I typically do, and ended up taking one of them back. And I'd have to say that I'm pretty happy with my final choice. I like the way it turned out. Well, not only are our choices overwhelming, but in this day and age, the amount of information that we receive is overwhelming as well. Our lives are constantly interrupted by notifications, either visually, vibrations, audibly, all kinds of notifications that are coming at us about things that are happening that we should pay attention to. And I like this little video I found. You can turn the sound up on that. All right, we're going to have to start that over. But yeah, Jesse, can you help me with the sound on there? It has to have sound. All right, let's try it again. There we are. Cute. All of these, you recognize all those sounds, don't you? Because you get bombarded by them. All these different sounds and notifications coming at you about things that you need to pay attention to. And there we go again. Yeah, it's how it works. It's impossible, I think, in some ways to focus in this life on one thing. To focus on one thing. I already have some attention deficit challenges. But I feel like each year it kind of gets amped up a little bit. More things kind of pulling at me and notifying me, and things drawing my attention. And I have found that, and it's something that for me this next year that I want to work on, but I have found that my attention span is shorter and shorter and shorter. And because of the way I'm being conditioned by all of these things that are asking for my attention. We all suffer, I believe, from attention deficit disorder in some form or another. I think we all suffer from it. And I like this. I got this off of the ADD website. And I like what it says about what it means to pay attention. It says we focus, pick something on which to pay attention. Then we select, pick something that needs attention at that moment, and we sustain, we pay attention for as long as needed, and we also resist, avoid things that remove our attention from where it needs to be. I like that. That's helpful for me as I think about where I want my focus to be and how am I going to keep it there. So we're going to use this a little bit for some help today. So what is our focus? What is that one thing? If you could narrow down to one thing for this year, one thing, what would that one thing be for you? And we're going to look to King David to help us out with that this morning. Psalm 27, verse 4. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." One thing, just one thing that David asks of the Lord. And you're probably thinking, maybe really, David, like just one thing? Well, I could think of a lot of things that maybe as I look into this next year that I would ask of the Lord. How about you? Would there be a lot of things that you might ask of the Lord? David says one thing. It makes me think of my Uncle Alvin. My Uncle Alvin was the pastor of my home church up in Michigan for quite a few years, and then retired. And I remember, I don't know if he was retired, if he was still pastoring at this time, but I remember, as churches often do, there was some turmoil in the church. I don't have any idea what was going on at the time. Of course, I was a teenager as well, and probably not paying a whole lot of attention anyway. But there was some turmoil going on in the church, and things kind of came to a head. And so we had this meeting. I remember it was an evening meeting where the whole church came together, and we were working on some solutions. I can't remember what we were trying to fix, but I remember a lot of discussion about what we needed to do as a church, and we need to do this, and somebody else would stand up and say, well, we need to do this. The only thing that I remember somebody standing up and saying was, well, we need to replace the lawn in front of the church, put gravel in there. That's the only thing I remember out of that discussion. I don't know why that sticks in my mind. Of course, as a kid, I guess, we played a lot out on that grass, and I couldn't figure out why anybody wanted to put gravel there. But anyway, so as this meeting went on and all of these things were being discussed, and some of it was fairly heated, I remember seeing my Uncle Alvin and his wife Eula sitting up in their normal spot, pretty quiet throughout the meeting. And then about towards the end, I remember him standing up, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something like, we just need to love God. And as a teenager, I was thinking, now come on, Alvin. It's a lot more complicated than that. That's what I was thinking. You're making it way too simple. It's a lot more complicated than that. But that still sticks with me, my Uncle Alvin's focus, what his focus was. He was on track. And I didn't understand as a teenager how much he was on track. What is our focus? What is that one thing that we're going to pay attention to? And David says here, the one thing for him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Reminds me of another story that you probably know in the New Testament about two sisters, Mary and Martha. And I want to read that passage and just listen as I read it. Luke chapter 10 says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I believe this is the Lord's word for me, and I probably for many of us here this morning. And I can hear Jesus saying this with much love to each one of us, and saying this to me, Rob, Rob, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says, put first things first, and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first, and we lose both first and second things. What are your first and second things? Do you know? Can you distinguish? Can you tell what is it that is first and what is it that is second? Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these really second things will be added to you. Wasn't really original with C.S. Lewis. I remember last summer when he went to hear some of the speakers at Zena Summer Institute, Dr. Larry Crabb challenged us about this idea of first and second things. And he spent a good bit of time on it, helping us to figure out in our lives what are those things that are first and what are those things that are second. It's difficult for us to distinguish those things, even when we think we have them figured out. What is a first thing or a second thing? And I think as we begin this year, it's a good time to think about that. What is the things that are really first, or what is that one thing for this next year? What is that one thing for this coming year? Going back to David's one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. He focuses in, and then he says, that's what I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I don't think David was just being super spiritual. You know, when the Sunday school teacher asks the question, you know, who should you love the most? And everybody like, well, of course, that should be God. I don't think David was doing that. He wasn't just giving a glib answer, being self-righteous. No, I think David knew something that we need to know and we need to pay attention to. We see some of that as he writes in Psalm 63. He says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So will I bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. It's no wonder that this is David's one thing: to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. It's no wonder. He has seen the Lord. He says, I have seen you in the sanctuary. David knows. He knows. He knows what's first. He has seen the Lord. It's no wonder that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his teaching. She knew who he was. She had seen the Lord. Here he was. What else would a person do if the Lord was in your presence but to sit at his feet and listen and learn from him? She knew. It's no wonder. The woman in the New Testament we see who poured priceless perfume on the feet of Jesus and then washed them with her tears and dried them with her hair. It's no wonder that she did that. Once again, quoting David from Psalm chapter 16, verse 1, he says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I think there's a tremendous amount of confusion about the benefits of believing in God, the benefits of following Jesus. We tend to look at God as a means to an end. That God, if I believe in Him, then I'm going to get this over here. He gives us eternal life. He provides for us. He heals us. He comforts us. He protects us. All of those things are true. But He is not simply a means to an end. He is the end. He is our focus. He is enough all by Himself, regardless of those second things that come because of the benefit of knowing Him. He's the first thing. He's the one that matters most. Nothing else essentially matters. To be in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. We understand more and more why David could say, "This is my one thing." Maybe we don't believe it. Maybe we don't understand it. But the one thing that could meet the desires of our hearts is to be in the presence of God and to gaze upon His beauty. Another verse in the psalm says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." He will give you the desires of your heart. In fact, I think it could probably be put another way. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will be the desire of our hearts. And He will flavor our desires for all of those second things, whatever they are. Do you know what the greatest thing will be about heaven? What is the greatest thing? What do you think? Is it the streets of gold? Is it the description of beauty? What is the greatest thing about heaven? Well, I think we find it in Revelation 21, verse 3. It says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God." I think that is going to be the greatest thing that we experience in heaven. Beyond all of the other things that we think about, a description, that will be the greatest thing. We will be in His presence forever. This is the one thing. So this morning, I just want to encourage us to follow David's lead. I think he's got it right. To make this our one thing for 2017, we could talk about a lot of things that we'd like to accomplish, and there are a lot of important things that are second things, very important things that we'd like to see happen, I'd like to see happen in my life, in the lives of people around me. And the fact is, we're going to be involved in trying to see some of those things happen, however God uses us and leads us. But in that process, we cannot turn our eyes away from the one thing. And I think this happens often. In the church even, it happens. We get so busy with the work, with the things that need to happen, we forget why it is that we're doing those things. What are we doing those things for? What is it that we truly want to accomplish? In fact, some of those things that we work so hard at actually kind of pull us out of the presence of the Lord, if that makes any sense. The amount of work and busyness, the things that we're doing, can actually pull us away from the presence of God, pull us away from spending time in His Word. We never really have time for that, spending time in prayer, spending time coming together as a body of believers. These are all some of the places where we see the glory of God as He works among us, as He speaks to us, as He reveals Himself to us. And so I just want to encourage us to follow David's lead and make this our one thing. And maybe that means that you have to take a lot of things off your list. I don't know. Some of those second things that have crept up into the one thing area. Maybe you just have to temporarily take leave from those things. I don't know what it is. I can't say for you. But how is it that we can keep this one thing the one thing? The Lord is calling gently to us this morning. Isaiah 55, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money to buy, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare." So this morning, I'm just inviting you to come to Him, to make Him your one thing so that you can see the beauty of the Lord instead of being mired in second things. All very important, but still second. What is your life going to be about in the end? First things or second things? So I invite you to come this morning. Would you lay the other things aside and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him? To just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him. The other things can wait. Would you take His yoke upon you and learn from Him, so that your yoke would be easy and your burden would be light, and that you would find true rest for your soul? Would you come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters? Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes. It's not something that I can do this morning. Even my own eyes that need to be opened to your great beauty and glory. Lord, there are all kinds of things pulling at us in this life. Responsibilities that we have that are important, and we need to carry them out. Information overload. Choices that we need to make, that we are bombarded with. And as we look into this next year, Lord, we just ask for your help. We ask for your help to focus on that one thing, that we might see you in all of your glory. And out of our desire for that one thing, that all of the other things might fall in line to support that, to add to that, to contribute to that. Lord, we need your help in this. We need your help. to focus and to see you for who you are. I ask this morning that you would open our eyes, that you would draw us to yourself, and that as David proclaimed in Psalm 63, that we could say as well that we have seen you in your sanctuary in all of your beauty and glory. Lord, we thank you for this word that we have from thousands of years ago, King David, in his walk with you. And we pray that we could follow his example to focus on this one thing as we look into 2017. And Lord, I pray that you would lead our church . I pray that as we come together, that this would be a place where you are proclaimed, your glory is proclaimed, that you are lifted up, where we can see you together, where we can see you in each other as a body of believers. Lord, lead us in that way. We need your help, God. We are broken people, but you are all powerful, and you can do a great work among us, and we ask for that this morning, for this coming year. Lead us, and may each person who comes in these doors have the opportunity to see you in all of your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.